I'm Mark Brazell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for listening. As a rower, I frequently visit Oak Ridge, Tennessee, a place called Melton Pond there, where there's a very nice race course. I've been down there on a number of occasions and know a little bit about the history of Oak Ridge, but I learned quite a bit more with a new book by Denise Kiernan. It's called The Girls of Atomic City, The Untold Story of the Women Who Helped Win World War II. And Denise Kiernan's on the phone with me this morning to talk a bit about this history that has, I think, really been overlooked. And these women who worked to truly win World War II as part of the Manhattan Project developing the atomic bomb. Good morning, Denise.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Not bad. Let's begin with Oak Ridge. I've been fascinated going down there. I know I row in a race called the Secret City Race, and that's because Oak Ridge in its beginning, well, basically it came into existence, went back in 1942, 43, just in this stretch of Tennessee countryside outside of Knoxville. It was a city created but never on a map.
Exactly, yes. Oak Ridge was a purpose-built town. In other words, it was built from the ground up exclusively for the Manhattan Project. They broke ground in late 1942 and got to work, and by mid-1945, there were already 75,000 people living there using more electricity than New York City. So it went up very, very quickly and was actually the administrative head of the Manhattan Project during World War II.
A lot of folks don't realize the role it played in the development of the atomic bomb because a lot of folks think about New Mexico to begin with, mm-hmm. you know, Los Alamos, and, you know Fermi's work up in Chicago. But Oak Ridge was really where the materials to make what you call in the book the gadget happen, the bomb explode. That's all came from Oak Ridge.
Yes, it did. In fact, there were three main sites for the Manhattan Project: Hanford, Washington, in Washington State, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the town I discuss extensively in my book, and Los Alamos, New Mexico. And as you said, and I fell into this same category before I started working on the book, when we think about the Manhattan Project, we think about Robert Oppenheimer, Enrico Fermi, the great scientific minds, and we think about New Mexico, when in fact the fuel for the bomb was enriched in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And the administrative headquarters was in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and it was the most populous of all these sites. The majority of the Manhattan Project's money was spent at that site in Oak Ridge, and yet it has been overshadowed primarily, I think, because we have a tendency to tell this story from a very top-down kind of perspective, from the perspective of everyone who was in the know, from the perspective of people who were making decisions and designing the gadget itself. But there were tens of thousands of people who, though they did not know the scope of the project for which they worked, were obviously crucial to its ability to accomplish any of its goals.
Well, how did you uncover the stories of the women of Oak Ridge, the girls of Atomic City? Because there were quite a few of them, and many fresh off the farms, and that veil of secrecy, that shroud of secrecy around the work they were doing. Most of these people in Oak Ridge did not know what they were working on.
They did not. And this, of course, speaks to, you mentioned Oak Ridge not being on a map. It wasn't on a map until 1949. The government wanted to keep the sites associated with the Manhattan Project very, very secret. You had to have badges to get on and off any of these reservations. Throughout World War II, of course, we've all heard, you know, loose lips sink ships and things of that nature. Well, that element of secrecy was taken to extreme degrees with the Manhattan Project. I came across the story almost by accident, really. I stumbled across a beautiful photo by the photographer Ed Westcott. He was the official photographer in Oak Ridge during World War II. And it was these young women, these adorable little 1940s hairdos, sitting on stools in front of these gargantuan machines with these knobs and dials. And I thought, what on earth is this about? And the accompanying text said these young women, many of them fresh out of high school from, you know, farms on Tennessee, are helping enrich uranium for the world's first atomic bomb. Only they did not know it at the time. And I was hooked. The minute I saw that, I was in, and I started looking into the story for myself.
Amazing story, because these were, well, not only the girls running the, what are they, Calutrons, I think they're called.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, there were secretaries, but there were also scientists and nurses and chemists. And for many of these women, working in Oak Ridge was really their first taste of independence.
It really was. And that moment in time, World War II, was such an interesting time for women as far as opportunities that were made available to them in the workplace because so many men were away fighting. And this was true also of the people who worked on the Manhattan Project. And since Oak Ridge really was a functioning town with, you know, cafeterias and schools and recreation halls and libraries, along with these giant plants that were working for the Manhattan Project, women had opportunities in virtually all of these realms and really got a chance to do things they probably would not have. And for many of these women, I mean, they had never left home before, and they got on buses and got on trains and went to a town they didn't know the name of and went to work for the war effort.
As these women were working there, I find it interesting, a couple of folks have noted, the presence of women really gave this what was supposed to be a temporary site for the development of and enrichment of uranium into a lasting town with a future.
Well, what happened was people were bringing there, aside from the young single women, married men and women were also coming to the site. And there was no post-war plan for Oak Ridge. The government wasn't concerned with that. They wanted to hit the ground running and deal with winning World War II. That was the only thing that they were aiming for. But they had all of these single young women and single young men, and they're going to dances, you know, four times a week. And they had families living there with children that needed to go to school. And then you had marriages and babies. And I mean, even if the government had wanted to pull up stakes and leave, I think it would have been very, very difficult to pull off by the time the war was over, because a lot of people had really begun to put down roots there.
We talked about the shroud of secrecy, and you really carry that to a T in the book, Denise, because from the very beginning, you don't say what they're working on. You don't mention the real name of the material that they're working on, and really, I keep that. Was that difficult as a writer to tell the story through all these secret words?
Well, I wanted to really, there really were two worlds here. There was the world of those who knew what the Manhattan Project was. And then there was the world of the women I portray in the book, which is really the world that the majority of Manhattan Project workers, men and women, fell into. People who really didn't know what was going on. And I wanted to try and convey what that might have felt like to be awash in this world of, you know, code words and mysterious product and things you didn't know about. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure the reader had kind of an overarching view of everything that was going on, which is why I tried to keep those two worlds separate, but also keep the code names in there until it was time for everybody to know what was actually going on, until it was time for my characters, the women I feature, to know what was happening. And it was a little challenging, but I thought, you know, I hope it was worth it. I tried.
Well, I noticed at the end, following you're telling the story, you talk about all the women you talk to and your difficulty in choosing just the women you highlight in the book. Are there other stories that you regret having left behind or left out?
Yes. I mean, it's when I was trying to decide who I was going to carry through the entire book, there were a couple of things that I wanted. I mean, first of all, it was just how accessible were these women going to be to me over several years. Another thing was how broad were their memories? Did they have a wide variety of memories that covered different areas of life? Because what I wanted to do was show life in Oak Ridge during the Manhattan Project through the eyes of these women. So that meant that their work experiences and their life experiences had to be as varied as possible. And I also wanted women who were there at least for about a year and a half, 2 years. Some women I met were fascinating and had great stories, but they arrived, you know, very late in the war and were really only there for a couple months. And for that reason, I would choose not to include them in the book, even though I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, speaking with them and may have gotten valuable information from them. So, but as a writer, I mean, it's always hard to decide what to cut out, but you got to do it. You got to be brutal.
Well, you left some fascinating stories in, and thank you for sharing this very interesting history.
Well, thank you for having me.
Denise Gernon, author of The Girls of Atomic City, The Untold Story of the Women Who Helped Win World War II. It's available where books are sold. You can find a link to a website about the book and about Denise at our website, wvxu.org.